Welcome to the Navigating Dental Insurance Podcast, where we don't take from insurance companies. Here are your hosts, Mr. Jordan Comstock and Mr. Ben Tuinay. This podcast is sponsored by Boom Cloud Dental Membership Software, www.boomcloudapps.com, and Veritas Dental Resources, www.veritasdentalresources.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to another exciting episode of the Navigating Dental Insurance Podcast. This is the Say No to PPOs perpetual series, I guess. We've never changed the series. It's always Say No to PPOs. I mean, who wants to say yes to PPOs?
I don't know if we want to do that.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. My name is Ben Tuinay. I'm one of the hosts today. We have my trusty partner here. I guess I shouldn't say partner, because in New Zealand it's like partner, you're sleeping together, right, Jordan?
I hope not.
my trusty co-host, Jordan Comstock, and our honorary co-host, Genevieve Poppy. Welcome to the program, folks. How are you today? That sounded kind of cheesy, but hey, welcome.
You're good. We're doing good. I feel good, I guess.
Doing great.
That's awesome. Doing great. So yeah. Ben and Jordan are in Lehigh, Utah, then Genevieve's out there in Wisconsin with all that mayhem that's going on with the ground zero. We won't talk about that.
Let's not go there today.
Yeah. Yeah. We won't go there. No.
Go Packers.
Whole different podcast. Go Packers.
Go Bulldogs. So today, you know, it's we kind of are been so busy, you know, the three of us, divide and conquer. I know that Genevieve's been on, you know, she's been flying, which has been great. I've only had 2 trips this year, if you can believe that.
It's going to be weird for you, Ben.
Yeah, I've only had a couple too. It's been really weird.
I know. It's been really strange this year. But, you know, the good thing is that we're all busy. And we found, I think in every industry, we found ways to be more efficient, you know. Mm-hmm. This whole Zoom thing, I think people have figured out how to keep the naked people off the Zoom calls. But, you know, when you look at just the evolution of business in general, it's actually very exciting just to see how businesses have been forced to be more efficient, you know?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And today we have an exciting webinar. So our Insurance Anonymous course that we started, when was that? Was that a couple of years ago?
Yeah, it was 2018. Yeah. I was just looking back. Can you believe that?
Yeah, it's weird. It was weird that it was 2018.
So we've been so busy that we haven't been able to continue that last year, but this year we're going to do it. We're going to do it via webinar. And we're going to talk about efficiencies as it pertains to this whole mindset about how insurance companies are just poisoning the mentality in dentistry, from team members to the way we treatment plan to fees, all the way down to patients, you know, and this whole insurance driven mentality that is, I call it poisonous, you know, it truly is taking over our lives. So Jordan, myself, and Genevieve have 3 different perspectives on how we're going to tackle that, how we're going to tackle and address how we can lift ourselves and free ourselves from this whole insurance-driven control that sometimes some of us think that we can't escape. But the truth is you can. So yes. How do we want to do this? Do we want to give a sort of a little commercial or tidbit about what each of us are going to talk about? So, you know, there's always that saying, beauty before beasts or ladies first. So, Genevieve, do you mind?
I thought you were going to ask Jordan.
He's next.
Since I'm like, I am like the miniature Zac Efron, according to Ben. So I was, I was kind of.
That thinking, actually is a good comparison. I totally see it. Well, I am, you know, I think what we've put together for this course is actually really cool. And I really enjoyed the first time we did it because we bring 3 different opportunities to adjust the way insurance participates in our practice and the way we, you know, run our businesses. The thing that I really like to talk to our group about is breaking our own insurance mindset. So we get so negative about participating with dental insurance, and we blame our patients that they care about their insurance. And we set up every conversation as though the primary factor is insurance.
Yeah.
And then we say that our patients are price shoppers and insurance driven, when really the insurance mindset lives within our teams. So far as I really believe that most dental front desk people now are trained to be insurance experts. Their job, they believe their job to be explaining insurance to people instead of helping people proceed with care and I'll get what I can out of your insurance. And there's two very different ways to approach how you communicate with patients, but also how you think about each conversation and how you view your role that can help sort of break that internal insurance mindset. And whether you have to participate or not, you don't have to let it dominate the course of care the way it does in their practices, the way we see it right now.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's so amazing that many people in dental practices complain about the patients and how the patients are giving them a hard time about insurance. But when you hear the way they talk to patients, it's like, well, this is why. And sometimes it's hard for us to see our own issues, right? And sometimes it's hard for us to acknowledge that we are the problem. You know, there's this great book called Leadership and Self-Deception.
Love that book.
You know,
we are in the box. We are very in the box with insurance.
I call it in the trenches. I'm focused on the trenches right here.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes we blame others for issues that we cause the problem, you know?
Exactly. Our very presentation of it is what's causing the insurance-minded reaction. And then we're mad that people, you know, ask us questions back about insurance when it's really what we tend to lead with in almost every conversation at case presentation. And so, you know, addressing how, you know, here's what I know about teams that are doing this. It's not ill-intentioned. They actually believe they're being as helpful as humanly possible to know the ins and outs of every downgrade. But what they're in turn doing is helping people feel confused about proceeding with care. And unfortunately, you know, we can look at numbers and I'm always excited when a practice is doing well in the numbers. But the reality is if we don't have good case acceptance, our patients are not being cared for. That's the actual outcome. It's not, the money's awesome. It's great to have really productive days. But, you know, when your treatment acceptance is at 40 and 50%, that means most of your, half of your patients aren't receiving the care they need. And in most practices, we're not presenting that much elective stuff. It's mostly stuff that's only going to get worse for our patients. And if we think we're doing them a favor by having them wait until next year when they have a new $1,000 to work with, we're not, you know. But I know that their intention is to be helpful, just like I know it's a doctor's intention to be helpful when he overexplains a root canal. You know, like we have these habits all the way through our practice, but people talk about what they know about. And unfortunately, we teach our teams that the most important thing you can know about is insurance. And I think the most important thing you can know about is people.
Yeah, I agree.
So yeah, I have some actionable verbiage in the course, just a different way to say things, a different way to present things, but also just a different way to think through a lot of those scenarios.
I'm excited about that because when you really think about that, when you have that people, this connectivity with people. I don't know how to phrase that.
That's exactly what it is.
Connectedness, yeah. And really that great and awesome customer service where you're building the value and insurance is just secondary. The question becomes, do you really need to participate with insurance? I mean, is that even a necessity, you know?
Hell no.
Amen to that, Jordan. Amen.
You know, it's hard. I think once people can see that people will accept and proceed with care, you know, despite insurance limitations while they're participating, when they can learn that, it does make them feel more brave in dropping plans. And, you know, post-COVID, I've actually been working with quite a few offices on dropping plans, which is awesome.
We're hearing that more and more here.
I mean, I don't think there's ever been a better time.
People
are used to change right now. Like everything is different for people. Every single thing. We're just like used to this forced change as humans. And so like, if you're even thinking about it, I do believe now is the time. And hopefully our course can help prepare you and make you feel brave about even dropping some of them, even starting that way.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's the whole goal.
No, that's awesome. So folks, I mean, that alone is worth the price of admission for this course because you know, the skills that Genevieve talks about, and she's a great people person. I love what you gave in the first Insurance Anonymous course that we ever did. Those communication tips have been so valuable for practices that I know that attended that course. But this takes it a step up because, you know, when you're looking at participation, you feel so stuck with insurance participation or that insurance-driven mindset that the patients have. There's a different way to look at it from, you know, just a basic communication perspective in some of those skills. So, if you only want to enroll for Genevieve's, what she just said, I will guarantee you that's going to be definitely worth your time. So thank you, Genevieve.
Thank
Anything
you,
else, Genevieve, before we move on to the second most beautiful person on this call?
Yeah, Ben, that's you, bro.
I think what's awesome about this is not just what each of us bring, it's the combination of the three things together. So, you know, with that, let's let Jordan talk about what he brings to the table in battling our insurance dependency as an industry.
Yes. Yeah, well, I just flat out think insurance sucks. That's my mindset. But I think, I'll talk more on like the revenue and like business mindset side of it. I think insurance companies attack two major components of the business, and that's profit margins and cash flow. And those are like the foundation of any business. And it's really interesting to me that we as a dental industry has allowed them to attack those two major foundational pieces of business, right? Well, and then let's add a third one in there, because I think patient experience is important. They attack that, which that's everything, in my opinion, in regards to managing a solid practice. The financial components, and then patient experience, because everything financial is a byproduct, right? So I think that's kind of where my mind is in regards to dental insurance. But obviously, I'm huge in the membership plan realm and kicking out insurance companies and increasing the membership component of a practice where patients pay, you know, monthly and yearly subscription fees to get access to your practice. And you control that offer, you control that whole experience, and you build patient loyalty and you build recurring revenue and cut out the bad partnership of PPOs. Because it really is a bad partnership. Genevieve, Ben, if you guys had a partner, let's say if I were a partner, I'm like, hey, I'm gonna make you guys kill your profit margins and let's jack up your cash flow a bit. I probably won't be a partner that long with you guys. Would you guys agree? I think
that most doctors don't realize that that's what's happening as a result. Of their relationship with insurance. Right. That's really what I think. It's so assumed that this is what you have to do, especially younger doctors coming out. The first thing they're doing when they join a practice, most of their first jobs is credentialing, you know, to join everything under the sun. And it's just sort of this believed necessity. And I don't think it's looked at from that business standpoint of, you know, delaying cash flow, hurting patient loyalty, and of course, killing your profitability.
Yeah, so. which are kind of important.
Right. Well, you have to work a lot harder for a lot less in that relationship, you know?
Exactly.
You do. So that's why, you know, I mean, most people that follow me know that that's pretty much all I talk about is subscription revenue and memberships. And I think,
Jordan, how do you feel about recurring revenue?
I absolutely love it. Genevieve, I love it so much. I have multiple t-shirts that just say recurring revenue on it.
You should get a tattoo.
I'm going to get a tattoo. I'll get a sleeve.
There you go. Cool. Like a snake reoccurring.
Yeah. So I just think, I mean, I've seen too many practices when they implement this, you know, practice owners get they're fearful when they think about reducing dependence on PPOs sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, membership plans, at least how we teach about them, will give you a solid foundation to minimize that fear and have a predictable recurring revenue stream coming in, you know, as you're cutting them out. And even during like times like COVID-19 where practices were shut down, there were many practices that, you know, were receiving $40,000-$50,000 in monthly recurring revenue that was automatically showing up in their bank account each month. And I think that's a very powerful business model. I've managed both. I used to manage a dental lab, which is, I call it variable recurring. You know, some months it's feast and famine, very similar to a dental office. And I don't think running a business when you have a feast and famine cycle in revenue is extremely hard, because you have all these fixed costs mainly people. People are, you know, expensive, but they're extremely necessary. So it's you got these all these fixed costs, but then you're it's kind of backwards to me. And I always thought that when I was managing the dental lab, I'm like, we got all these fixed costs, we got these people that we need to support in order to deliver, you know, quality services to our customers, but we don't have a method or a strategy to ensure that we can always keep those people and deliver consistent, you know, benefits and services to our customers or clients, right? So that's why I'm like a huge fan of the business model and how, you know, you can stabilize your practice and cut out those freaking lame PPOs.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well said, Jordan. You know,
that's me.
No, that's, I think what you teach on the subscription, you know, we talk about recurring revenue, but the subscription model, you know, in thinking about my own business, it's like, why didn't I go that path a long time ago? Simply because, you know, when you can eliminate that component about where's the money going to come from next month, you know, especially when you're looking at a time of a pandemic where you have those accounts already there. And this is one of the great models behind, you know, Amazon, Costco.
The
amount of people that shopped at Costco versus other small retailers. It's so funny. While everybody was flooding Costco, I went to Kohler's on Main Street. You know why? There's nobody there.
Nobody there.
Nobody there.
Headache.
And they had stocks of toilet paper. They had stocks of sanitizer and all that. But that whole subscription base, you know, it's at the forefront of your mind. You want to get that value, you know?
Yeah.
Box us in.
Mm-hmm. But for Costco, they have that. They already have that built-in revenue, that subscription. But they make money on. They make more money when you buy those groceries, you know. And so we're kind of tied into that. You know, as people psychologically, we're tied into the memberships, you know.
Yeah.
Except for gyms, for some reason, people get gym memberships.
You pay them and don't go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Still a good business model, I guess.
We feel better about ourselves for paying for the membership.
Well, yeah, it's a great business model for the gym.
Yeah.
You know? We might go.
Yes.
No, that's awesome, Jordan. We look forward to hearing you elaborate more on that during the course. Anything else before we move on to the ugliest of the three?
No, I wouldn't say that. You're not ugly.
I mean, maybe of us three, but just in general, not ugly.
Thanks, Genevieve. That really boosts my spirits today. Cool. Well, I'll wrap it up with my version. You know, I've been thinking a lot about insurance carriers and how they became so powerful, like Delta Dental. How did Delta become such a powerhouse in dentistry?
It's all that recurring revenue, baby.
Exactly. Starts with that recurring revenue. But in order for them to get there, it all started with an endorsement.
Uh-huh.
An endorsement by the doctors. Mm-hmm. And essentially, when you look at an endorsement, when it comes to insurance plans, a participation agreement or a credentialing agreement, as we call it, is an endorsement of that plan. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people are going to be upset about that. And, you know, accusing me of calling you uneducated in that fashion. No, I get it. Sometimes PPO participation is a necessary evil.
Sure.
But it's the insurance companies that take your participation. They go to an employer. They lay out the list of all the doctors that are in network with their plan. And they say, these are the doctors that have endorsed us. And when Delta Dental goes to like an Apple or an Amazon, and they lay out the list of doctors saying, we have 99% of the doctors participating with our plan. The way they say it is, we have 99% of the doctors endorse us, you know? And as a result, more and more plans, you know, they play that game to get doctors to sign up with their plans. But that's really the reason why dental plans grow. In Logan, Utah, there's used to be a small plan that had only one employer group signed up. Well, this dental group used the Delta formula. They went out and they got endorsements from all the doctors. They got participation or credentialing agreements from almost every single dentist in that town. Well, right now, just within 3 years, that plan is becoming the number one dental plan. And you know, when you call them on a claim saying, hey, why was this claim denied? You know what they say?
What?
Well, we denied it because you agreed to that in your participation agreement. So they basically give you the big you know, F you. And they really have a no cure attitude. If you talk to any dentist up in Logan, I'm not going to name the insurance plan because I don't want to get sued by them. But I mean, you can ask anybody.
Now I'm going to Google it.
Yeah. But
me too, because Logan is a small city. I know what it is. I'll find it.
But they'll tell you that this plan has a no care attitude towards the dentist. And the reason why is because they will say, well, you agree to the contract. And that's what they tell everybody. So we can't give these insurance carriers that much power, you know?
Absolutely.
And the truth is I'm going to talk about two case studies during this presentation. One of a client this year who had a start date of June 1, 2020, right in the smack middle of the pandemic.
Yeah.
Ouch.
And she started as a fee-for-service practice. And you know what? First month, 100 patients. Second Bravo. Month, 200 patients.
Fantastic.
Third month, I mean, she's on 300-plus patients. She is rocking it as an out-of-network provider. The second case study I'm going to talk about is a client in Corpus Christi, Texas. He decided to completely drop Delta Dental. You know, he looked at his numbers in May, and he came to a conclusion, you know what? I don't need Delta Dental. So he dropped Delta Dental. So year to date, his revenue month over month since he's been reopened has exceeded last year's. And it's not necessarily because of the catch-up. Most of his patients are not Delta patients, but he's probably going to retain at least 50% of his Delta patients. But when we looked at the numbers and extrapolated it out over a 12-month period, he's going to see maybe 50% less Delta patients, but somehow he's going to earn 10% more in total revenue than he did during previous years off of fewer patients. So this is the whole Kodak study in play. You know, for those of you that are familiar with the Kodak study, you know, when you raise your fees, I have it actually printed on my wall. When you raise your fees by 10%, that means you can survive on the same revenue off of 71.5% of your patients, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's really interesting. You know, if you lose 45% of your patients, all you need to do is raise your fees by 20% to earn the exact same revenue. When you walk out of network, when you go out of network with these plans, you're earning more than that 20%. And so that's what we discovered with this case study is there is a possibility of dropping a big plan like Delta Dental and still having an opportunity to earn either the same or more. And this is the whole work smarter than work harder, because this doctor is going from 4 days, full packed, jam-packed days a week to 3 full days a week with one less hygiene column and still making 10% more. I mean,
isn't that amazing? And isn't it weird?
Yeah.
You probably watch this, Ben, the way people cling to that busyness.
Yes.
It
terrifies them to lose busyness, to lose hours, to lose patient numbers. They're so afraid of it. And it's hard, even with the math and even with the studies, there's a huge fear
habit.
Factor in going to a less busy, more profitable place, because they've built their entire practice by working harder and harder and harder. And I'll say this, I haven't done it nearly as many times as you have, but I've never ever watched a practice completely fail or fall apart after dropping PPOs.
Exactly.
I've not seen it happen.
Not once.
I've never seen it happen. And yeah. I talked doctors off a ledge, and they're like, what if I lose half of everybody who comes here? And I'm like, you won't, first of all. And second of all, even if you did, you would only have to grow back, you know, at 10% of that to be where you were, you know? So I've never seen it take a practice down, but I talk to a lot of people who want to do it, but just can't pull the trigger because they're so afraid of having
fear
open time.
Yeah.
Like their fear is what will we do? Like, what if we have open time? And I'm like,
you know, that you bring up a good point. When you look at
grow your business more, right?
When you look at the United States, and if there are listeners from other countries, I apologize. I don't mean to offend you with this statement, but when you look at the United States, it being a relatively young superpower, you know, we've only been a nation for a couple hundred years. But when you look at just the speed of development, technological development, government development and things of that nature, one of the key things that the farmers were blessed with was time. They had grow season, but in the winter time they couldn't grow much, you know. A lot of them grew winter crops, but it wasn't as nearly as much as the corn, that they grew in the summertime. But that wintertime was time for them to innovate. It was time for them to figure out how to make their tools more efficient. And you look at the farming industry today, it is so efficient. There are things that were created in the wintertime that allowed farmers to be 1,000 times more productive, 1,000 times more efficient, simply because it was forced innovation time, you know?
Yeah.
And in dentistry, many practices don't have that time to innovate because it's a grind. You know, yesterday on Gary Takacs' Facebook page, I love dentistry.
Yeah.
What's his name out of Canada? Naren. He posted question about how your day was. And I looked at the comments and it was busy, stressful, you know, glad it's over, you know? Yeah. And that just speaks, and most of the comments were that way. And that just speaks to the fact that we get so stuck in the routine that we don't have time to innovate. Well, when you drop insurances, if you're going to do so in a way that'll allow you to make it work where you're making the same revenue. That's what we typically see is most practices actually grow when they drop insurance plans, but you're going to have more time. And you're gonna have more time to innovate, work on the business, work on the membership plans, work on team communication, you know, the three things that we're gonna talk about.
Right.
Anyway, I'll get off my soapbox. I just wanted to kind of mention that time is actually a good thing to have if you can make it available.
Yeah, absolutely.
I tell people all the time who it's a very common habit in dental offices to obsess about openings. Everything revolves around openings. And I'll just say, well, let's look at the day. Is it to goal?
Right.
Yeah, then it's fine. Let's work on tomorrow. You know, there's the fear is around the open time, and it's just so tied down to like the combination of all of this, right? That we feel so beholden to it. It makes us busy. It makes us feel like the only way we can do something is if our time is full. And then we actually present treatment and get it accepted in a way that makes us have to do the hardest stuff the fastest. Mm-hmm. And it's just this vicious cycle of making it the hard way. And I hope that our course, and now that we can do it virtually, it's easier for us to repeat it, can help more people feel brave in breaking some of those ties to how insurance ruins their day.
Yeah, absolutely. So have we set a date for this? I can't remember, Genevieve and Jordan, for this webinar. I know that we're going to have it posted in the link, and we'll be promoting it.
We are scheduled for October 23rd.
Excellent.
October 23rd, 2020. Yep, it's a Friday. Clear your day.
Yep, we'll make sure we post the link to the course in the show notes and the dates and all that stuff and where to register. But yes, it's a Friday, which is my favorite day.
Absolutely. Yep. So get geared up. Have a nice cool drink prepared for that day, and let's just have let's prepare to have a lot of fun, because this is a topic that oftentimes can seem dull, but in all reality, if we address these insurance related issues, especially the mindset issue, holy smokes, does it provide a great level of freedom for the practices, for dentists and their teams to be more efficient, you know, have a better, I like to think that you can earn a better quality life by not being so stressed out with, you know, how people are going to react.
Provide better dentistry. People find it, you watch it, people find a lot of satisfaction on the other side of that change. And so we can spread the word.
Yeah. one of my best friends, in fact, I want to bring him on the show. He's a dentist, and he is a fee-for-service. He's out of network with everything. He bought the practice that way and has kept it the same. And he is definitely a happier dentist than most of the other dentists that I know here in Utah, because Utah, Ben, I know you know this, is pretty heavy, you know, with PPOs. At least I hope.
Terrible reimbursement.
It's terrible. It's terrible. Yeah. So I know that it's a huge mindset shift, but there's a lot of benefits when you can do that for your practice.
Yep. And honestly, that's the direction that we're going to push the industry. And that's the direction that the industry is somewhat exploring, is this out of network / freedom from insurance. And there are going to be three different angles and three different components that we each will share that will open up that as an opportunity for you to really have some actionable items to make that a reality for you. So Genevieve, Jordan, any closing thoughts or any final words for our listeners?
I would just say, make this your year. Get brave. join us for our course. We want to support you in making those decisions and give you some pointers as to how to go about it and feel successful doing it.
Awesome. Thank you. Jordan?
Ditto.
Ditto? Ditto? Okay. such a wise response right there.
I don't need to say more when Genevieve said it so well.
with that said, thank you so much, folks, for listening to the podcast today. Check out the registration link in the show notes, and we look forward to seeing all of you there. If you're not there, then I'm going to find you.
It's fine. It'll just hurt our feelings. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much for chiming in today, everybody. We look forward to the next episode that we'll have, hopefully very soon. In the meantime, check out the show notes for more information about the upcoming event. And if you're not subscribed to the podcast, go ahead and go to iTunes or go to our website, saydonopopos.com, and click that subscribe button. Thank you so much, folks. Genevieve, Jordan, have a great day and enjoy the rest of your week.
Rock and roll.
Bye.
Rock on.